Well, the guy running around screaming and naked in the cemetery sure gets our attention, doesn't it? When I was first working on the sermon, I was going to bring up the story of a guy who was picked up in Waukesha, I think, about a month ago. Remember that news story? Okay. And we were going to remember it and say, oh, yeah, beer was probably involved, and laugh a little bit, right? But this past week, last Sunday, a madman in Orlando murdered 49 people, injured 53 others with an assault rifle. These are no longer rare events, are they? We have names for them, names that bring up memories of horror and fear. Sandy Hook. 5 and 6 year old children and their 25 and 26 year old teachers. In the city of Milwaukee, south side, Sikh temple shooting. San Bernardino. Not to mention the high rate of murder and violence in the city of Milwaukee. And right here in Sussex, in our own community, this weekend, the man who was shot in a drug deal gone bad a month ago at the Pick and Save parking lot died. And I'm riding into work Thursday morning trying to find a road that's open, because Plainview is now closed also. Okay? I thought I found it, and it was closed off. And there's a TV crew there, and I thought, oh, they're here to film a closed road. Oh, no. They were here to film a guy holding his ex-wife and family hostage in their house with an assault rifle. In the face of this kind of evil and depravity, we might be wishing, if only the worst thing we did have to deal with was a naked guy running around the cemetery screaming. Because you know what? By comparison, we can deal with that. Just get out your iPhone, take a video, and YouTube it, right? But this, what do we do with it? We are confronting evil. Darkness, demons, possession, if you will. And this is nothing new, but in our time it comes out in different forms. You know, we know that we modern people have a hard time talking about demons with our 21st century reality. We usually don't think about possession by demons unless we're watching a horror movie, and then we tend to leave it there in the theater. But even if we don't believe in literal demons, evil is very real, isn't it? Now, here's the deal. The forces of evil, they want us to be afraid and to believe that we are powerless and that they hold all the cards, that they got all the power. Oh, no. Look at our story today. This man who's possessed by demons, the demons, they address Jesus by name. They say, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. They know exactly who he is. Knowing Jesus is no big deal. The big deal is, do you love him? Do you trust him? Will he be your Savior? That's the big deal. And then, did you notice, they had no power. They asked Jesus permission to jump into the pigs. And I frankly have always felt bad about the pigs and the pig herders, but that's a different story. But they have no power. They have the power to tempt, to threaten, and make us afraid. And that's it. We have all kinds of power. We are not powerless. Now, it is not our power. It is God's power in Christ in us who strengthens us. This Jesus who stared Satan down and won, the one who was killed and rose again from the dead, defeating death. This is the Jesus who has the power to forgive, to create life, and to build up and promise God's love for us. Now we know any fool can hate and destroy. That's no trick. That's not power. Real power does not destroy. Real power builds up. It does not kill. It preserves and creates life. This is the power Jesus fills us with. The power to put the pieces of our hearts back together and to stare our demons square in the eye and not blink, knowing We belong to God. We have been chosen. So demons, fear this. Fear this. The power of love, the power of life, the power of life that shines into the darkness that no darkness can overcome. You know, this evil that wants us to be afraid, in reality, it's like cockroaches. I'm guessing you don't have first-hand experience. I did my undergrad in Madison, had an apartment. And there were times in the kitchen you turn the lights on and the cockroaches would go running away under the stove, fleeing the light. Okay? That's what evil does. It flees the light when it comes near. We are not powerless. We are not alone. And in fact, there is plenty we can do. We are called to shine the light. So instead of taking the easy way out and blaming and judging others, January, we invited the imam from the Islamic Society to be here with us, Dr. Ali Shah, to teach us about Islam in a time when many Muslims are blamed for what 0.1% of the Muslim terrorists in this world do. And he told us, first of all, that Islam means the way of peace. And the Muslim terrorists are perverting the words of the Quran, their holy book, to justify violence and hate. He said, as much as others in the U.S. and the rest of the world want ISIS gone, he said, we Muslims want them gone more. Because by their very existence, they make all the rest of us look bad, so we want them gone. And even though Muslims are not the only one where a few make all of them look bad, it just takes one Christian to make other Christians look bad. Last Sunday, the day of the shootings in Orlando, a Baptist preacher in California, in front of a microphone that got picked up by the news, said, the attack on the gay nightclub was good. He said it was God's will, because homosexuals deserve to die. This week, during the funerals for many of the victims in Orlando, there have been protests from people calling themselves Christians, harking the same message. Is it any wonder why those outside the Christian church conclude that Christians are judgmental, bigoted, and promote violence? Evil is sneaky and insidious. Satan likes nothing better than to pervert God's word and turn it into permission to murder, exclude, judge, hate, kill. When we face evil, we are often tempted to point fingers at others, those who aren't like us, with the unintended result that we overlook the evil that lurks inside of each of us. And sometimes we are tempted to become reactive, returning evil for evil, sometimes seeking what we think is a righteous retribution. But most of all, get wrapped up in fear, so wrapped up in it that we lose ourselves, we lose our center, we lose our focus. Now, you and I, we may not be tempted to stage a mass murder or hold family members hostage. Instead, we are tempted to give in to evil in ways that seem so benign that sometimes we even call them good. And frequently we are tempted to respond to evil by doing nothing. Nothing. And as we know, the only thing evil needs to prosper is for us to do nothing. Evil wants us to turn from following God's ways and God's will in this world. It wants us to stop loving God by loving others. It wants us to stop showing mercy, to stop forgiving, to stop feeding the hungry, to stop sharing clothes with the cold, to stop sharing food and saving lives and bringing hope. Evil wants to be the one and only thing we see in front of our faces, and it wants us to be afraid and to stop there. Now, we Americans, we are a can-do people, land of opportunity and prosperity, and we want to fix things. And in the face of things like mentally unstable mass murderers with automatic weapons and terrorists of every shape and kind. We want to do something. We want to do something meaningful. We want to fix it. So here it is. First, pray. Well, you might be thinking, all right, preacher, that's your go-to. Pray. You bet it is. Pray. Because when we do, we give this to God. Because it is too big a thing for us to carry. And we give ourselves over to God when we pray to become the instruments of peace and healing and hope in this world, making space for God to be at work in the world through us. And there's a lot of opportunities out there. Second, first we pray. Second, keep feeding the hungry. In the early days of the Christian church, Saints Peter and Paul, who we revere, they had a feud going on between them for 15, 20 years. It was just funny. They both thought they were right. We won't go into all the details. But in the midst of all their disagreements, they agreed about two things. First, Christ is Lord. Second, they said, remember the poor. That's what our Master taught us. So keep feeding the hungry, caring for the poor, binding up the brokenhearted, bringing release to the captive, visiting those in prison. These are the things Jesus told us and taught us to do if we are going to follow him. And we can make a difference. In the face of evil, we can save lives and we can show, oh yeah, Jesus lives. And this is what it looks like. The forces of evil, they want us to believe that those acts of love really don't matter, that it won't make evil go away. The forces of evil want us to focus on the distractions instead, fueled by fear and seeing ourselves first. When we face evil, the answer is not pointing fingers at others or moving on as if nothing has happened or saying there's nothing we can do. The answer is to use the power of the living God in us to bring love where there is hate, to bring understanding where there is judgment, to bring life where there is death, to bring food where there is hunger. In the face of evil and hate, Jesus calls us to pray for them. Imagine that. To pray for those who choose evil. To pray for those who choose to kill. To pray for those who love evil and hate more than anything else. And to pray for ourselves. To be open to God's messengers. To love. To sacrifice ourselves. And to reflect his light into the darkness. This is not the time for hand-wringing or vilification of people who are different than we are. This is the time to respond with real power. God's power, the power of life over death, the power of good over evil. We face more than naked screaming people in cemeteries. We face bringers of death and destruction and fear. And the forces of evil want us to respond to the distractions and fear and feelings of futility. Jesus calls us to answer with love and mercy and grace. Because that, friends, is how evil is defeated. That is how demons are cast out today.